I knew I was queer before I knew I was gay. Even though I didn't know what either word meant, really. And before I came out of the closet as gay, I had to go into the closet as queer. And before I could come out as gay, I had to come out as bi. And now, well, I am both gay and queer at the same time. Now, all of this may be terribly confusing to you. And for that, I apologize. But as you can probably imagine, it was terribly confusing for me, too. I deduced I must be gay in grade 3. I remember the moment distinctly. I was sitting outside alone during recess, for I had just gotten into a fight with my best guy friend, Eric. He didn't want to be my friend anymore, and I was crushed. I remember distinctly thinking to myself, I wonder if he hates me because he knows that I'm gay. Now, the weird thing about this moment is that I didn't really know what gay meant. Not really, anyways. I hadn't had a crush on a boy or a man. I was 7. But something in the social waters of Rosemont Elementary School told me that I was this thing, and this thing I was gay. The evidence was laid out in front of me. I liked playing with my friends' dolls, and as you can probably deduce because of our society's gender stereotypes, most of my friends had dolls, which means that most of my friends happened to be girls. I enjoyed the way my female friends would spend their recesses, sharing conversations of substance, playing elaborate games of make-believe rather than just beating each other up on the playground. Oh, but probably the best part of having most of your friends be girls in elementary school was that it was okay to be smart. But don't get me wrong. I also liked roughhousing and sporting and getting muddy. I liked being one of the boys, how you could get into a fight, and most of the time it would resolve the next day with very little drama. But this moment, before this moment, I had somehow lucked into being a gender diplomat, granted immunity to move between the neutral zones between genders. I could be one of the guys or one of the girls. But like any diplomat, your access was never total or complete. And as I grew older, it was harder and harder to keep my credentials valid as I moved through a more militarized and defended gender border. The costs of that particular transgression, the name-calling, the harassment, the isolation, the violence became higher and higher. And so I had to relinquish my credentials as a gender diplomat and become what I thought of as some sort of gender spy. If I was to play both worlds, I had to keep it on the down low. And what was worse than the name-calling, and that was worse than the name-calling and the harassment, for I had to be shamed into some sort of chameleon. Each world had their particular codes and norms, ways of being, and having access to these dual worlds allowed me to embody an essential and authentic part of myself. I had my boy walk, rigid, utilitarian, each step purposeful and strong. And I had my girl facial expressions, a whole repertoire, expansive. They took up my whole face and my whole body, and I loved the way I could move my body. I was liberated. But the whole of me never truly found a home. But I doubled down. I embraced my newfound lot in life as a gender spy despite the costs, because I didn't want to choose. I couldn't choose. I shouldn't have to choose. But back to Eric in that moment at recess, tears flowing, heart broken, grasping for answers. Why? Looking back, I can say with all certainty that I was not gay then as I thought. Not gay in the same-sex loving way. Not gay in the way I am now. That would take a little pituitary engagement, if you know what I mean. I was at most proto-gay then. But what I definitely was queer. Not queer in the sense of we're here, we're queer, get used to it, but queer in the sense of transgressing the social code. Queer as in wishing there was a blank slate to craft a new way beyond the pink and blue apartheid. Queer as in women wearing pants 100 years ago, queer, as in searching for a new way for my whole person, my nerdy, weird, gender-crossing, future same-sex-loving, learning-disabled, sometimes dramatic, boyish person to be free in. And that queerness, looking back, was too much for Eric to handle. Those social costs were too high for him to associate with me, and so we had to part company. Despite the words and the labels I might have been using in this recounting of this story, I don't think it is a very uncommon experience for most of us. The experience when an authentic part of ourselves cannot find a place in a relationship, a friendship, when they are not welcome in a family because that's not the way we do things in this family, or they're shunned or ignored in classrooms or workplaces. The experience of feeling a bit strange, a bit out of place, not able to be fully authentic, a bit, well, queer, to use that old way of using the word, is in my mind a universal one. That there are these beautiful parts of our beings, these queer parts of ourselves that are ridiculed and belittled and even sometimes bludgeoned by the silence of looking around and seeing no one else like you. No one finds themselves in a closet of their own making. The house the closets find themselves in were fashioned by shame and the powers that can name good versus bad, right versus wrong, perverse versus normal. We don't so much as come out of the closet as break out of it. But what exactly does that word mean that I've been using over and over again? This word queer. Are we allowed to say that word? Is he the only one who's allowed to say that word? What exactly does that word mean? What exact type of church did I walk into this morning? So let's dive in. Rightly so, I think the definition of queer is, well, a little bit queer, as in strange. For it has many different definitions, many different ways of using it, and they all overlap and intersect in some beautiful ways. For some, queer is a painful word, a slur hurled from childhood on, especially towards those who pioneered the gay and lesbian liberation movements. It was an insult that holds the sting of negation of who they are and what they're fighting for. For as we all know, it is not strange or odd or perverse or wrong that anyone happens to love a person of the same sex. It's not queer. It's human. But for others, queer has become this new umbrella word. As the alphabet soup of those who would march in pride parades expanded from just lesbian and gay to bisexual and transgender, and asexual, and intersex, and two-spirit, and pansexual, and genderqueer, and questioning, and to the queer infinity beyond, there was a need for a word to describe this community of people as a whole. Queer became a way of speaking about anyone who is not heterosexual and not cisgender, which is another way of saying not transgender. The queer community came into being from the fractured and sometimes isolated identity-based groups of the past. And with that emergence of the queer community, we see yet another way that queer was picked up as an identity. For those people whose genders or sexual orientations don't conform to the normal binaries, for of course, heterosexual means that there are two genders and you love the opposite, and homosexual means that there are two genders and you love the same. But for many people who don't find themselves neatly in one gendered box or another, or whose attractions run the spectrum more beautiful than one simple tick box, queer became a beautiful way to identify beyond the classic labels of gay, lesbian, bisexual, or straight for all those who may feel that their love and their being as well a bit beyond those categories. Imagine two folks who identify towards the middle of the gender spectrum between maleness over here and femaleness over here who happen to love each other. Well, they're not men who love men, and they're not women who love women, so the classical labels of gay or lesbian or straight don't really fit, and so for many, queer becomes a beautiful identity to embrace because it embraces the complexity of their being. Queer as a slur, queer as the umbrella, queer as identity, and finally queer as resisting the dominant culture's idea of normal. Queer, as in singing Christmas carols in June. Queer, as in rejoicing in transgression, of celebrating the margins, of reveling in difference, because sameness need not be the entry pass to community, which is, of course, something that our Unitarian and Universalist ancestors have been saying for generations. Queer, a slur, a community, an identity, a joyful transgression of what is normal, and also all of you. What? There's this beautiful part of one of Ellen's stand-up, Ellen DeGeneres' stand-up routines. It's just after she has come out. It's her first big tour. She's in this giant auditorium, and she's beginning her set. And she begins something like, "We're all here despite our differences, but we all have one thing in common. It's that we're gay." Which, of course, is probably very awkward for many of the people sitting in the audience. We're all gay? They look at their husband or wife who brought them there. All of us? Is there something you're trying to tell me, honey? Wait. What's happening? What I love about it is she goes on to say, no, that's not the case. In fact, the one thing we all have in common is that we want to laugh, but I'm not going to let you off the hook so easily, because I think we are all just a little bit queer. So, queerly beloved, I am here to recruit you. Harvey Milk, when he rose to spoke those famous words, he knew that the only way that normal has power was if it was perceived as the norm. So he called people to come out, to change forever the normal, to break down the closet walls. Because if there is one thing that queer people know, it's that closets equal death. Take it from this queer and from other LGBTQ people out there, being in the closet, feeling that shame, is a death of ourselves. A death of the potential beauty of the deeper relationships we could be if we were truly authentic, but it is also the death to the transformation of culture, the queering of culture that would make way for a new way of being. And so, I am here to recruit you into this new rainbow contingent, into the gospel of queerly beloved. And don't worry, you don't need to be gay or trans or bi to be involved. But you could be. I am here to recruit you to be rejoicing resistors, revelers of differences, warriors of truth in the present tense, wielders of hatchets taking aim at the closets of all types. For as indecent theologian Marcella Althaus Reed says, no one leaves this land of bondage on her own. We need each other. And we know this. For we are the uncommon denomination, that queer church where belief in the sameness of things, the belief in the sameness about God, about what happens after we die, is not what unites us. Something deeper, something more beautiful, a promise of love and companionship is all we need to be together. So I think we are pretty much ready to go on this journey together. But to do that, friends, we must, standing before that great cloud of queer witnesses, of Marsha Johnson and Sylvia Rivera, the first trans women who threw the first rocks and bottles at the police at the Stonewall riots, standing before Truman Capote and Harry Hay, or Billie Jean King and Rachel Maddow, of the queer people in all of our family trees, we are going to need to do something truly courageous. We're going to need to come out, at least to ourselves, about our own queerness. The nerdiness that we stifle inside. The place we feel we might be too much of something. The impulses and desires we may feel that are not the norm or normal. The way we wish we could live if only something was different. The clothes we wish we could buy. The ways we wish we could be. The experiences we wish we could have. The ways that we don't fit into binaries of any sorts. We're going to need to recognize and embrace that queerness within each of us. And not just come out, though. Like the word pride mandates, we need to transform our shame of divergence into pride of our difference. That is the power of pride. The rainbow promise. That our common humanity is refracted into shades and hues we could never imagine of such beauty if only our true colors would shine through. To claim our queerness is to write new rules and make it up as we go along. What I have learned in being queer is that the norm is not always normal, that the boxes we are told we should be in are pretty much BS, if you know what I mean. That there is a way that we can craft our lives together that doesn't need convention, only authenticity. Imagine that world. Imagine that world where convention is replaced with authenticity of being, a beloved community of people living out their true beings in radiant glory. I think we get to taste that just a bit in this community every day and every week, and yet I know there is more of it. I know there is a torrential downpour of love and radiance that could be unleashed. If only our queerly belovedness was truly embraced and loved. Was I born this way? Was I born this gay? Maybe. I don't really know. Do you? Solve a lot of questions I have. But do I choose this way? Every day. Because the world I want to live in is queerly beloved. And I think that together, it could only get more beautiful. Amen, and blessed be.